Good morning, everyone. Three of today's lecture readings speak about love, all sorts of love. Our main text today is John 15, 9 to 17, and I've asked Jane if she'd please read it for us.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you, Jane. A number of ways of loving are mentioned. God's love for Jesus and God's love for us in verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. We're commanded to remain in my love. Faithfulness, which I'll come back to. It's in verse 10, and it says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 12 says, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13 says, there is no greater love than the laying down of one's life for friends. We are Jesus' friends. He is our loving friend who laid down his life for us. And in counting us as his friends, not servants, he passes all he knows from his Father on to us. We didn't choose Jesus. He chose us to go and bear fruit. And then God will give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name. And in verse 17 it says, this is my command, love each other. And another one, the readings, 1 John 5, 1-6, it speaks in verse 1 about all who love the Father love Jesus too. In verse 2, we know we love each other, God's children, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And in verse 3, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And in Psalm 98, which was read earlier, it says in verse 3, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness, and shout for joy, sing to the Lord a new song. We all know very well that love is central to our faith. Even the secular world often recognizes that Jesus is the supreme example of love. Time magazine said, Jesus, the most persistent symbol of purity, selflessness, and love in the history of Western humanity. And as love is central to our faith, we are very aware of how important it is to love others, to love everyone. Those we know, those we don't, our church family, all other Christians, those of other faiths, those who have no faith, our family and friends, neighbours and work colleagues, strangers on a bus, the person behind the checkout till, the person at the end of the telephone line when we're trying so hard to get answers as to why our broadband isn't working, politicians, those who help us, those who don't, even our enemies. The whole human race is our neighbour. It is God's command to us to love our neighbour. Nicky Gumbel says, draw near to people who are in need. Get involved and help them. You are never more like God than when you're helping hurting people, lifting up the fallen, and restoring the broken. We demonstrate our love for others in many ways: praying for them, caring for them, being generous and welcoming, helpful and supportive. We only have to look amongst us on a Sunday morning, at an Agape meal, at cell group, the cafe, prayer meetings. I'm sure you can identify some of the demonstrations of love that we see. Hugs, cups of tea poured, celebrations of birthdays, we had three this morning, and anniversaries. Someone kindly places out a chair with arms for me each Sunday morning. We show love by keeping in touch with each other, with cards, phone calls, visits. I guess it would take us quite a while to write out a list of all the ways that we can demonstrate our love for each other. For family, friends, neighbours and colleagues, the actions of love and caring are much the same. Help, kindness, hospitality, keeping in touch with cards, phone calls and visits. For those that we don't know, showing love can be a smile as we pass them by, or a helping hand if we see someone in trouble, a kindness. To love the wider world, we can pray, we can support charities, we can volunteer. And for our community, we have the cafe, such a wonderful ministry by all those who help there. We've run various courses, and of course we had Breakout, and we welcome everyone. We're genuinely so pleased to see everyone. Have I missed anything obvious? I'm sure I must have. Has anyone got any others they'd like to share? These are just a few examples of how we can demonstrate God's love to others. And actually, it's important that we love ourselves. If God loves us, then we should allow ourselves to love ourselves. Not in any indulgent way, of course, but in a way that acknowledges that God created us as totally individual, unique, and special. We touched on this at Praise and Prayer on Wednesday evening. Of course, we sometimes do not love everything about ourselves, say if we act wrongly. But if we confess, God forgives us, and we should forgive ourselves and move on, endeavoring to not make the same mistakes again. Love for ourselves is the love for the being that God has lovingly created and whom God overwhelmingly loves. Corrie ten Boom said, "There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." And Sochiel Dixon says, "Jesus' love for us gives us the ability to love him and others. Knowing he loves us gives us a sense of security that deepens our personal relationship with him." And she also points out that we can't out-love God. So love others, love ourselves. But do we struggle to know how we can demonstrate our love for Jesus to him, our love for God to him? In Word of the Day it says, "The more you discover about God, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you need new ways of expressing your love." How do you express your love for God to him? We have worship, and we're blessed to have so many gifted folk in our worship group, and we're blessed to have so many songs, old and new, that help us to sing worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. We worship by speaking to God through prayer, both spoken and unspoken, by communicating with him at all times and all ways, by thanking him. We worship by sitting quietly with God and by listening to him. We worship by reading the Bible, allowing ourselves to be taught by it, and by listening to those who teach. We can worship by enjoying God's creation, a creation that worships God. Again, Psalm 98, which was read earlier, says, "Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy, let them sing before the Lord." And Psalm 96 says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy." Again at Praise and Prayer on Wednesday, we touched on the wonder of creation, and I shared, and I have to tell you this too, you may know it, but I read somewhere that even the stars sing, and I checked, and it's a NASA quote, and it says, "We can't hear it with our ears, but the stars in the sky are performing a concert, one that never stops. The biggest stars make the lowest, deepest sounds like tubas and double basses. Small stars have a high-pitched voice like celestial flutes." Isn't that wonderful? God is the great creator, and he has gifted each one of us the ability to be creative. So we can worship him by using our God-given creativity. We can sing, play an instrument, write, craft, paint, sew, knit, garden, cook, decorate. Also, we can be creative in many other ways. The ability to organize, think in a new way, invent things, and just simply by the way we interact with others. Allow your creativity to grow, knowing it is gifted from God. And that your creativity can be used as both a blessing to others and as a demonstration of your love for God. In Scripture, Jesus speaks about other ways that we can show God our love for him. To trust, to obey, to be faithful. And in everything I say today, I speak to myself too. There are so many examples in the Bible of those who trusted God unquestionably. David taking on Goliath, Noah building the ark, Abraham being prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac, Esther going before the king, Peter walking on the water, Ananias when asked to restore Saul's sight, and of course Mary. For ourselves, I ask myself, how is my trust level? I think that sometimes my trust in God is solid, but at other times it becomes a little watered down. I don't know the reason why. Sometimes we forget to involve God, not just in moments of difficulty, but in everyday, ordinary living. God cares about every single aspect of our lives and so wishes that we would involve him in everything. In times of difficulty, we sort of panic and try to fix things ourselves before stopping, thinking, and praying to ask God for his help. When it comes to everyday things, we perhaps believe that we're perfectly able to deal with the ordinary things. But even the ordinary things can become special if we involve God. Sometimes we're forced to rely on God because the thing we are dealing with is too big and too difficult. And hasn't he always come through? It is good to remind ourselves of all the help, answered prayers, miracles, unexpected blessings, and peace and assurance that God has given us. Remember the times when all seemed hopeless, but God found a way through the maze of the impossible. Remember the times you've trusted God and all has been well. Write them down as a reminder for the next time you feel your trust in him is not 100%. Trust God. Isaiah 26, 2 and 3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." And then we move to obeying God. I mentioned trust first because it's easier to obey someone when we know we trust them. How best do we obey God? The C.S. Lewis Institute gives some suggestions. Listen to what God says in the Bible. Follow Jesus as his disciple. Serve others and not put ourselves first. Be polite. Show consideration to and respect others. Trust that God's way is best for us rather than our own or the world's way. We know that obedience is hearing the word of God and acting on it. Ideally, unwaveringly and with integrity and with all our heart, mind and spirit, we should walk in obedience to God, keeping his commands. Of course, this is not always easy or straightforward. We are frail beings, but we can and should always ask God to help us to obey his commands. I read somewhere that it's good to foster good habits by being obedient in the small things that God asks of you, as this helps us to grow our spiritual discipline. It helps us to move towards thinking less of self and more of others. Sometimes we know that there is something that we should do for someone else and in turn for God, but we just feel out of energy and enthusiasm for the task. I believe this is where we learn the lesson of obedience. And always the carrying out of the task ends up being so much easier than the thinking about it was. And often, have you experienced this? Whilst doing the thing that we felt less than enthusiastic about doing, something lovely and unexpected happens, perhaps a wee blessing for our obedience. Oswald Chambers says the best measure of the spiritual life is not its ecstasies, but its obedience. And thirdly, there's faithfulness. There were two frogs, and they fell into a tub of cream. One looked at the high sides of the tub, which were too difficult to crawl over or jump over, and said, "It's hopeless." So he resigned himself to death, relaxed, and sank to the bottom. The other one, though, was determined to keep swimming as long as he could. "Something might happen," he said, and it did. He kept kicking and churning, and finally he found himself on a solid platform of butter and jumped to safety. How to describe being faithful? The thesaurus adds loyal, devoted, reliable, committed, and trustworthy. Mother Teresa says, "I'm not called to be successful, but to be faithful." Vince Havner says, "True faith shows up in faithfulness. Not everyone can sing or preach, but all can be faithful." So how are we faithful, and how do we remain faithful? Learning how to be faithful is probably a lifetime journey and will be different for each of us. There are obvious things like reading the Bible daily, making time for it, praying constantly, communicating with God, attending church and other fellowship meetings and activities, even when it's wet and cold outside and we don't feel like leaving the fireside. Be generous, tithe, serve others, and to treat all people with love and respect, even the unlovely, by living our ordinary everyday lives in a way that God will approve of. Be true to your word, being faithful to others in all circumstances, making that visit, making that telephone call, writing that letter, even when we don't feel like doing it. And by obeying God, listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, trust, obey, and love God in all circumstances. Again, none of this is easy, but ask God to help you to be faithful in all things, step by step, day by day, year by year. Word for the day says, others may not recognize your faithfulness, but he does, and he will reward you for it. That's from Hebrews 6 and 10, which says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. In preparing for this morning, I saw how closely obedience, trust, and faithfulness are connected. We should be obedient to God's instruction and guidance because he can be trusted and is unerringly faithful. Our obedience, trust, and faithfulness are ways that we can demonstrate to him our love for him and for Jesus and all their supreme goodness to us. So be creative. Love others, love yourself, obey, trust, and be faithful, and love God. I felt, for some reason, led to close by just praying the priestly blessing from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.